Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Jeremy Roden serves as the Urban and Residential Horticultural Agent and Master Gardener Volunteer Coordinator for the University of Florida IFAS Extension in Marion County. With a strong foundation in agricultural education, Jeremy brings extensive experience to Marion County residents. His work blends hands-on horticultural knowledge with community education, helping residents adopt sustainable, productive, and Florida-friendly gardening practices. Good morning, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. You're out of town, so what conference are you at this morning?
So I actually just got back into town. I was at the National Master Gardener Coordinators Conference up in Chicago.
Wow, that was nice. Were the temperatures cooler there?
It was very, very much cooler, in the 70s pretty much all week. So it was kind of a nice breath of fresh air up there.
Oh, wonderful. That does sound nice. So what first sparked your passion for pollinators and the work you're doing at the University of Florida?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been a hobby of mine for a long time. And, you know, we started doing a lot of pollinator work and native gardening with the master gardeners in Marion County. And when I started working my master's, I had decided one of the big areas we see a need for is managing pests in the landscape while also trying to protect pollinators. So I started my master's over the past few years and graduated in December 2025 with my specialty in integrated pest and pollinator management. So how do we manage yard pests while also making sure that our pollinators are protected and that we're not, you know, defeating the purpose of trying to protect and conserve them if we're managing landscape pests?
That's so important in Florida because we have new people coming in every day that don't like bugs, they don't like insects, but they want pollinators. So that's a really good area of expertise to have. So we definitely need that. So do we know if homeowners are making a difference in pollinators and in making sure that they have habitat?
Absolutely. So since getting involved with the Great Southeast Pollinator Census, Florida joined in 2024, and it's now a six-state initiative. And what's really neat is one of the things we ask when they upload their counts every year is if in the past year, because of learning about the pollinator census, if they had planted a sustainable pollinator garden. And, you know, when we go through the year, we teach everyone what planting a sustainable pollinator garden means, not just providing nectar resources, but providing host plants and floral colors and shapes throughout every season, and thinking about integrated natives into the landscape that many insects use for host plants. And so we ask this question, and so we kind of get an idea of how many people not only implement a sustainable pollinator habitat, but approximately what that square footage is. And so it's really neat. We have seen, since its inception, the Southeast Pollinator Census started in 2019, there's been nearly 4,000 pollinator habitats planted. In Florida, since we joined in 2024, we've had nearly 200 pollinator habitats planted across the state. So all of those little habitats connect to make what we call pollinator corridors across the Southeast. And it's been really awesome to see that. And then that's just one of the big components, but they're really also changing their practices in the landscape. They're learning about insects and taking time to observe them and see that they're really not harmful to them. And the ones who are, they make up such a little part of that population. So people are changing the way they do landscape practices in their yards. You know, they think twice about what they're doing and how it's going to affect those organisms around them that are beneficial to the ecosystem.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So now, who can participate in this census?
So it is open to anyone in the Southeast. So that's anyone in Georgia, South and North Carolina, Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi. So anyone can do it. We generally do it today. It was this year, Friday and Saturday, normally every year, the 21st and 22nd. But because some states this year are expecting stormy weather, we've extended it all the way till Monday, the 24th at 11:59 p.m. So any 15-minute pollinator count can be done, and they can do as many pollinator counts as they want, each one of them 15 minutes, and focus on one plant at a time.
Okay, so go through the steps of what they would be doing for the 15 minutes and how they would, 1, 2, 3, what would they be doing?
Yeah, so the first thing they're going to want to do is get the count sheet, which they can download from our website. It's very easy. It's GSEPC. GSEPC.org. It's the acronym for the Great Southeast Pollinator Census, GSEPC.org. You can get the count sheet from there, as well as the easy insect identification guide. And then all you need to do is just find a plant outside in any one of those states that is in bloom. And then you just get comfortable, sit down, you set your timer for 15 minutes, and you observe anything that lands on that plant. And on your count sheet, you have your different insect groups, and you would just put a tick mark next to the group of the insect that it belongs to. And then at the end of your 15 minutes, you just scan the QR code on the count sheet, or you can just go to the website directly. And on that website, there'll be a big button that says upload your counts here. And that's where you would upload the counts and answer a few more questions that just give us a little bit more data about what you intend to do, you know, to help pollinators and what you have already done.
I think that's so great, and it's so easy to do. And I think this is a chance for everyone to say, this is what I'm doing in my yard. Go me, you know, and be supportive and tell us, because we don't know what everybody's doing in their yard. So this is a great opportunity to get your yard noticed and get in the census. So what if somebody doesn't know what a pollinator looks like?
So that's a great question. So on our website, we have a ton of resources on there for every age group, for kids all the way up to adults, and it explains everything to you. And you can take a deep dive if you want. If you're one of those who love to just keep reading and keep learning more, there is enough information on there for you. But we also have everything in condensed guides where you just kind of get to know the basics in order to participate in the census. We have found that a lot of the groups that we work with, you know, this is their first time sitting down and observing insects. And so learning the difference between a carpenter bee, which is one of our insect groups, and a bumblebee is another insect group. And just as simple as knowing that one of them has what we call a fuzzy rear and the other has what we call a shiny hiney, those little things that you can remember actually will help you. And so what we find is that people will take time and get face-to-face, up close with bees enough where they can see their abdomens and see, okay, this one has a furry abdomen, this one does not. This one must be a carpenter bee, or this one must be a bumblebee. And so I believe it was Jane Goodall who said something along the lines of that whenever we take time to learn about another organism that's different than us, we're less inclined to harm them, and we're more inclined to think about the things we do in our everyday lives that may affect them. And so one of our objectives of the census is to increase entomological literacy and understanding. And so when folks take that time to sit in front of them for 15 minutes and realize that this thing doesn't want to sting me, it's just doing its job in the ecosystem, I think it really helps individuals be more inclined to think about them with their practices when it comes to their landscape.
So if somebody doesn't live with a landscape or a garden, like they're in an apartment, but they do walks around the lake or they have parks that they go to, can they participate too?
Absolutely. They can do it from their own backyard. They can go to a local park. We actually, if you Google UFIFAS, I-F-A-S, great Florida Pollinator Census blog, you will find we have a blog that we keep updated year-round, and we have pollinator events listed all over the state by region of the state and by county. And so individuals can go on there and look and see if there's an event near them that they can go to that's publicly, or maybe you just want to stay home. That's perfectly fine. Anywhere you can find a blooming plant, whether it's an intended plant that you planted in the landscape, or maybe it's just a weed that you find on the side of the road that's in bloom and you can get into a safe spot to sit and observe that, it's totally acceptable. The main thing is you just need to be able to identify what the plan is that you're observing.
Oh, that sounds great. So I want you to say the website that they can go to very slowly, and so that people can write it down, and we'll get that. So do that one more time, Jeremy.
Absolutely. It is GSEPC.org.
Okay, and that stands for the Great Southeast Pollinator Census.org. That's wonderful. Now, so when will we hear the results of the pollinator census?
Great question. Normally the results are released to me. Our statewide results are released around October, and that's also mid-October, I'd say. And that's also when they'll announce it on the website and on the Facebook pages as well.
That's wonderful. I want you to come back on in October and let us know how everybody reported. So that would be great. So Jeremy, how do they find out more information about what's going on in Marion County?
So, you know, if you want to know what's happening in Marion County, we have the Master Gardener Facebook page, which is very active. If you just search for UF IPIS Marion County Master Gardeners, you'll find that. We post on there regularly. If you are a Florida resident and you want to know more about pollinators, we also have the Great Florida Pollinator Census Facebook page. It's in collaboration, obviously, with the Southeast Pollinator Census, but we do all things pollinator on that page, everything from events to pollinator information, research that's coming out about pollinators. We do that year-round.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. That is wonderful news. We'll be posting it on our Better Lawns and Gardens page, too, today. So thank you very much. It's very important. Please report what you find in your yard or on your walk. That'll be great. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Garden. Dana Venrick is the owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, and his nursery is just amazing. He is a sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens, but I wanted him to call in today because good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Well, a little bird told me that tomorrow is your 85th birthday.
It is. I am such a blessed, you know, person to be 85 in good health and have one of the most beautiful nurseries anywhere. My daughter was so kind. She said this is the most beautiful nursery she knows.
Aww.
And so that is quite a compliment. I'm very blessed to have a beautiful daughter, too, Delana Michelle.
Delana.
She's a radio personality. In fact, a 94.1 FM out in San Diego.
She is
great.
She won
the personality, radio personality of the year
in
2025.
That is wonderful. And she is a delight.
And look, that's not shocking. She is the apple did not fall far from the tree, Dana. So not shocking. Happy birthday.
Well, that's wonderful.
So, thank you. Thank you so much. I feel young.
Oh,
we
as
need to
you
switch
should.
That around to 58, not 85.
Well, I tell you, Dana, so what at 85 keeps you going and inspired after all your years in agriculture and landscaping?
What inspires me?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, like the olives I'm holding in my hand right now, looking at these olive trees that back when I was working for Extension, I was told you couldn't grow olives in Florida. But, you know, through Marion County Extension and a guy named Tony, originally from Sicily, told me, yes, you can. I said, well, I was told it's too humid in Florida to grow olives. I said, you're kidding. You know, they grow right next to the sea in the desert. As soon as the sun goes down, they're wet all night. And so I have some Arbutina and Korniki olives. The Korniki originally from Greece and the Arbutina from Spain. And we're going to cure them. He told me how to cure those olives, too,
oh,
which
my
we're
goodness.
Going to do
and
with a handful, with actually a basketful I picked yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that sounds wonderful. Dana, I just want to wish you all the best. I love you so much, and you're just doing a great job. The state of Florida is so blessed to have you continuing to educate all the citizens, and your nursery provides beautiful native plants and fruit trees, and it's just wonderful. Anybody wants to get to see you and wish you a happy birthday, give us how they would find you.
Well, just come by the nursery or call me. My number is 386-837-3878. The nursery number is 386-734-8000. Easy to remember. And on the website, you can go to qualitygreenspecialist.com. Email me at Dana Venrick at yahoo.com. It's easy.
And you're on Facebook, too.
I'll be happy to talk with you.
You're on Facebook, too, right?
Yes. There's a gentleman and lady came in this past week and said they bought a peach tree from me several years ago, and this year they had over 1,000 peaches on this tree.
Oh, my
beauty.
Yes.
And they gave me a big jar of jam they made from those peaches.
Oh, that's great. I think that's wonderful. Well, they're sharing their bountiful harvest with you, and you're the start of it all. So thank you so much, Dana, for being just wonderful. I wish you a very, very happy birthday. You and Stella celebrate.
Yes, thank you again. I'm at 335 West Michigan Avenue. Come by. You'll be amazed. I taught a group of homeschoolers this week at a little setting in the wooded area, with a native trail with the orchids. It was such a blessing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dana, for calling in so I could talk to you. Appreciate you so much.
Have a great program and have a great day.
Thank you so much, sir. That's Dana Venrick. Wish him a happy birthday. You can go by Quality Green Specialist Nursery, 333 West Michigan Street in DeLand. You can go today and tomorrow and wish him. And he's just amazing.
Get you some olives.
Get you some olive trees. That's so true. So I have a question. I don't know where they are, but it says that I have an extreme case of nutgrass in my garden and suggestions. Well, it depends on how much nutgrass you have and where it is. Okay. This is not a good time of the year to use herbicides. So if the nutgrass is in your lawn, I hesitate to say, you know, go ahead and spray your lawn. But if it's taking over your lawn, then you need to go ahead and get it cut out. But you can use products like Sedge Hammer, Pro Sedge. Anything with Bazagran or Imazoquin in it will be effective. Follow the label. It is hot. So, again, following the label is going to be very important so that you don't damage the rest of your lawn. So Nutsedge has been really terrible this year.
Yes.
And it's because the turf is stressed out because we're in drought, the heat. Nutsedge just goes crazy. It loves it right now. And so it's very, very important. So also, too, let's see here what I got. So speaking about pollinators, I saw on National Geographic, Secret of the Bees. And it's if you can go online, if you're you can get onto the website of National Geographic, you're a member of it, or if you're on PBS, you can see it. It was excellent series, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Then also too, I just have to update you. You know that mango tree that I have on my street,
mm-hmm.
and I told you that it was beautiful, just a huge mango tree, almost 30 feet tall.
Yes,
and well, it got damaged in the freeze this year, but the leaves didn't drop off, but it's got all new growth on the inside of it. Well, this week, all those dead branches fell off on the cars in the driveway. So if you have a dead Norfolk Island pine, if that's huge, if you have a dead mango tree, get those dead branches off. It's been so long now that, you know, and thankfully we haven't had any kind of major storms, but those branches are going to come down one way or the other when they're dead.
Yes, definitely.
And it's going to be a hazard to your house, to your cars. So go ahead and make sure you take care of that. If you're going to leave your Norfolk Island pine up, if it's recovering, you just get the dead branches off of it. And then that way we're not going to have any more damage. If we do get a storm, it's an El Nino year. So the opportunity for a hurricane event are less, but it's still, we have a chance for them. And we definitely do need the rainfall. So nothing happening this week, but you still want to be prepared. Get those dead trees and dead branches off of the tree so you don't damage any property. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five today are the top five bits of encouraging news about bees. Number five, conservation groups, cities, counties, extension offices, master gardeners, and homeowners are expanding pollinator habitat using native wildflowers, reducing pesticide use, and giving both bees, honeybees and native bees the resources they need to rebound. Number four, nutritional support is improving. Beekeepers are now providing pollen supplements to help colonies get through those tough forage gaps during crop bloom, keeping hives stronger throughout the season. Number three, more commercial beekeepers are adopting indoor winter storage, now over 30%, which is reducing both winter mortality and mite pressure. Number two, researchers are also making real progress. New biological controls using beneficial fungi are targeting varroa mites without harming the bees themselves. And number one, after 2 years of record-breaking losses, honeybee colonies are finally showing signs of stabilizing. The latest U.S. beekeeping survey reports that colony losses have dropped from 55% down to just under 40%, a return to a normal range and a welcome shift for beekeepers nationwide. From April to June 2025, around 292,000 colonies were lost, which is also 10% of the total, while 641,000 new colonies were added. So while challenges remain, there's good news on the horizon for bees and in return for humans. So those are my top five.
I love that.
Yes, we are making a difference and they're finding it out. The varroa mites were really the really worst in the colony. Collapse disorder was really a big factor. So if you have a gardening question, we have our last segment, and then 1-888-455-2967 is the number you need to use. And also you can text 23680 and we can go ahead and I'll help you out and give you all the information you need. So this week I had a question from Barbara. And Barbara says, I live in a new neighborhood and I have an abundance of wolf spiders. Is there something I can do to reduce or remove them from my yard? She lives in Apopka. So in Florida, Florida's humid and bug-rich environment, wolf spiders, they're so cute. Have you ever, do you know what a wolf spider looks like?
Yes, yes.
They are cute.
They're fuzzy.
Yeah, they are fuzzy-wuzzy. And so they are particularly effective in gardens, lawns, and flower beds to prevent to get rid of their predators for other insects, mosquitoes and ants like that. Their hunting helps protect plants from insect damage without the need for chemical pesticides. They are nocturnal and well camouflaged. Wolf spiders sometimes enter homes, usually following the prey insects like cockroaches they get rid of, crickets or silverfish. And what you need to do to keep them in check without using chemicals is that you want to make sure that you are, you know, sweeping off your patios and porches, keeping the webs down from around door frames and window frames, and then also to furniture outside, dog food, all the areas where spiders can collect. You want to make sure that you are, taking care of those areas. Maintain a clean outside will reduce them. But then I heard back from Barbara, and she said, now that I know they don't bite, wolf spiders do not bite. They're harmless. And she says, I'm fine. She says, I'm good. Thank you so much. And so I do appreciate Barbara changing, kind of saying wolf spiders, she's, worried about them. So now they're good friends outside. Let's go to Ralph and Tangerine, or Ralph just...
No, talking about asking questions about Tangerine.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ralph, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a little problem with my 3-year-old tangerine tree. It's got some black soot coming out on some of the leaves. It looks kind of ugly.
It looks ugly? Well, black soot is sooty mold, and that is just an evidence that you either have a whitefly problem, an aphid problem, some kind of insect issue. So so when was the last time you fertilized it?
June.
Okay, good. And it's in full sun, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, super. So what I would use is a horticultural oil, and you can spray, you can use like Neem 85. or Daconil, and get rid of the insects. So the city mold is only a symptom. That's not the issue, because that'll just wipe off, or it'll run off in rain. It'll just wipe right clean. But it's telling you you have an insect problem.
Okay.
Okay? So I would look around, see when you walk up to it, if you see anything flying away, or look at the underside of the leaves, and if you will use a horticultural oil, it will be just fine.
Great. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. I love that. Tangerines, I love seeing citrus come back. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I heard from Jay in Orlando, and his leaves on his camellia are turning brown and kind of speckled, but they're a glossy, it's a kind of shiny browning, and that's not an insect issue. It could be either an algal leaf spot, which is raised silver blotches, or dieback canker. And then also to flower blight. Okay, so what you need to do is go ahead and make sure that you are watering it correctly, that it's in full sun or shade. It doesn't matter. Camellias can take both, but that it's planted properly. And then you can go ahead and use an horticultural oil as well. If it is tea mites or spider mites, it can create that bronze and stippled kind of leaf damage. So oils, soaps, or miticides if it is an insect issue. So you got to go and look at the leaves. And one of the best ways to check if your plant has an insect issue is take a white piece of paper, an 8.5 by 11 paper, hold it underneath the leaf, and just go ahead and tap the branch or the leaf on the top and holding the paper underneath it to see what drops on the page. If you sometimes will get insects crawling away once you get them on the paper, or you can see some frass, insect frass, which will tell you that you have an insect problem. And that's a good way to determine, you know, what it is. Now, if nothing knocks off, it could be a disease or a fungal issue. Then also too, camellias can get root rot. So if you're overwatering, and that's a big issue in Florida, is overwatering. Especially when we have a drought, people think they need to water more than necessary, and we don't. So, Jay, let me know what you find, and you can also take care of that really easy. I think it's going to come to find out that it's a tea mite or a spider mite issue. Lizzie, we want to make sure that we have the right information for the pollinator census. If you would like to participate, you can go to GPSEC. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Apologize. GSEPC.org. GSEPC.org. And download. You can also just Google the Great Pollinator Census and the IFAS for Florida will come up. Let's go to Colette in Winter Haven. Good morning, Colette. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Teresa?
I am wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Good. I have a peach tree that actually grew up out of my compost pile. And I transplanted it a few years ago. And this past spring, I actually had about half a dozen peaches on it.
Wow!
And I forgot it needs trimming. It's got like tall shoots coming out of the top of it. Mm-hmm. Is it too late now to trim those back?
No, you can go ahead and trim them back. Peach trees like to be in a vase shape. Okay, by a vase shape, I kind of mean like a V shape, so that in the inside, there's really good air circulation and the leaves on the outside go upward. Okay, so cutting it in a V shape, so in the inside of the peach tree, you can cut those branches down lower, and that'll provide good air circulation and allow you access to getting the peaches next year.
Okay, yeah, I'm hoping. And also, real quick, I'm not a very good gardener, but I like to grow lettuce in the winter, and then I'm late taking it out, so I let it go to seed, and when it's flowering, the bees just love those little flowers.
Isn't that wonderful?
So I don't mind letting it go to weed because I'm feeding the bees.
There you go. I think that's a really great idea. So letting it bolt and having a second life as a pollinator plant. Wonderful.
And I still get seeds to plant the next year.
There you go. That's wonderful. You are more than a not a very good gardener. You are a great gardener. So, Colette, that's wonderful to hear.
Okay, thank you. You have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, too. I love hearing from Colette. She listens all the time.
Yes, and I do the same thing, like with my basil, and basically my basil. And basil will go nutty, and like I'll just explode everywhere with flowers,
yes.
And I'm letting it. I don't clip the
top. And the bees love it.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. We want to thank Jeremy Roden from the University of Florida, IFAS, Marion County Extension. Pollinator Census, we'll be uploading it on our Facebook page, but you can go to Facebook and just Google or just search for Great Pollinator Census, Southeast Pollinator Census, and you'll be able to find it. But Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.